morning, as I share with you from a very long portion of scripture, this is what I'm preaching. I'm just quoting a proverb from West Africa, and that proverb is in Pidgin English. Pidgin English. I'm sure if there's anyone here who has visited West Africa all the way from Liberia to Nigeria, Ghana, and all that, it says, "Monkey the work, babu the chop." That means monkey is busy working, plugging the bananas, and babu has it going there. And the scripture we are reading paints such a picture. And so, it's a social action. You do your action as a Christian in society amongst a situation like this. And this, we are looking to Nehemiah. And I'm saying Nehemiah uses the heart, the head, the hands, and himself to deal with the hurts of the poor. The hurts of the poor. The poor is hurting, crying, and there's no one to speak to. And in this scripture, mainly in Nehemiah chapter 5 that we'll be looking at, he's addressing this hurt. And I've intentionally chosen H's. H. The head is H. The heart is H. The head is H. The hands is H. Himself is H. Amen. So don't forget the H's. It's very important. Now let's start reading quickly from Nehemiah. I will start from chapter 4, getting to the end and of it, verse 21. And it says from verse 21, "So we labored at a work, and half of them had spears from the break of dawn until the stars came up. I also said to the people at the time, 'Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem.'" Don't go home. Stay in Jerusalem. Pass the night, that we may be guard for us by night and labor by day. So, I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. And in chapter 5, it reads, "Now there arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. And there were those who said, 'With our sons and our daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive as we do this work.' There were also those who said, 'We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, our houses to get grain because of the famine.' And there were those who said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and on our vineyards. Now our flesh is as flesh of, as the flesh of our brothers, and our children as their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved. But it is not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards.' I was very angry when I heard the outcry of these words. I took counsel with myself, and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. And I said to them, 'You are exacting interest, each from his brother.' And I heard a great assembly against them. And I said to them, 'We are, as far as we are able, have bought back our Jewish brothers and have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us.' They were silent and could not find a word to say. So I said, 'The thing that you are doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God and prevent the towns of the nations, our enemies? Moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting of interest. Return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses, and the percentage of money, gain, grain, wine, oil that you have exacted from them. Then they said, we will restore these and require nothing from them. We will do as you say. And I called the priests and made them swear to do as they had promised. I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out every man from his house and from his labor who does not keep this promise. So may the shaking out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. If I was there, I was going to clap for them. They did as they promised. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th, and underline that, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes until the 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them their daily ration, 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. Can you imagine a servant lording it over others? He's supposed to be a servant anyway. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Underline that. Because of the fear of God. I also persevered in the work on the wall, and we acquired no land. And all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now, what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox, 6 choice sheep, and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet, for all of this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on the people. Remember for my good, oh my God, all that I have done for these people. Amen. Shall we clap for Nehemiah? Wow! What a man! What a leader! I pray, God, that all of us will be like Nehemiah. This is not about a leader. It's not about a pastor. It's about me and you, you and I. We are all Nehemiahs. In one way or another, you are a leader as a Christian, because we are the priest of the living God. Amen. And I've never been so touched by scripture like this as I've been going through. Even praying with my wife and looking at this. Because I've seen what is happening. This church can change Peter Marisbeck if we apply Nehemiah in our lives. And this is the word of God for us as a church, to become Nehemiahs. I don't know the ladies who will be Nehemiah, Lady Nehemiah maybe. But we are all Nehemiahs, meaning leaders of God who are living by the word of God. Well, there are some H's I want us to look at. Number one will be the heads of the poor that stopped the project. The project was going on, and the enemies have tried to stop the project. It will not stop, but something stopped the project because of the hate of the people. The project came to ground. There was no work. Nehemiah had to come in and deal with it. The other H is that he dealt with the hurts using his heart, number one, using his head, number two, using his hands, and using himself as a human being to deal with the issue. And at the end, I would want us to we were in our cell group. Thank you, Leslie. But I must say it, it will encourage somebody. Leslie has been committed to the work of CCP since he first learned about CCP and contribute every month from his pocket, buying something to help the work we are doing in the community. And he told me in our cell group that, I was at your website. Ish, I like that video. Please, can you show it to the church? And I remember once we showed it some time ago when the SABC 2 came to Pietermaritzburg to look at the work that CCP is doing. Our CCP, our church is doing. So I want us at the end, just have a look at it again so that we will be encouraged, because that is what is called social action. Now, I just want to, as part of my introduction, I just want you to know the situation within which Nehemiah is working. We've said a lot. I mean, I remember our brother Musala preaching about us, chapter 1 and 2, how Nehemiah prayed and organized himself and sought permission to be sent. And in chapter 3, how Drew came and in between the lines brought out some things to us as well. And Craig preached to Sundays on how we need to work, the value of work. And last week, Musala also looked at how they even planned to assassinate the man when the work was done. How they wanted to assassinate them. So between what Craig shared in chapter 4 and what Musala shared last week, we are looking at the social setting of this book we are reading. What was happening at the time? Remember, this man Nehemiah was a cupbearer. It was one of the esteemed position. It's a covetous position, a position whereby you have to be trustworthy. Because if anyone wants to kill the king, you, the cupbearer, will have to be involved. Otherwise, they won't get him. They will poison. I mean, you have the cup, you know, a cup, and then maybe there's a muti here, and you are taking it to the king, you drink a bit, and then you put your hand there and give it to the king. He's dead, gone. So the king had to trust you. That was his position. It was an enviable position. A position that, in fact, it's also risky, because everyone wants to be there and be with the king. So it wasn't a Mickey Mouse position. It's a position that was very important. And yet this man was ready to take on a dirty job. A dirty job. He was ready to abandon everything. It's not about his pocket. In fact, actually, he came with money in his pocket to help his nation. God blesses us, now we will be a blessing to other people. Some of us were poor, now we are somewhere and we forget about what God has done. Would you be here if God was not on your side? People, we need to take this in serious. Christianity is about saving lives. Christianity is not about our pockets. God will provide our pockets. I'm telling you, He will command His blessings on us. Sometimes we are afraid. I'm emotional because I've been there. I know what it means to be poor. If someone were to take record of my history, you would never believe it's Benson standing here. There were times, no food to eat in life, no food. And yet we'll go to church and come. There are some people here who have no food even today to eat, and yet they are with us and we don't care. Even if they told us, we think they are bothering us. You are blessed so that you can be a blessing. Each one of us, no matter what level, of course, some will have many cars. Some will have nothing, but you are better off than somebody. And you can contribute to each other. So he comes into Jerusalem, a place that is broken. There's nothing. It's a disgraced place. If you remember, we read in chapter 1, when his brothers came, and they said, the remnant that are in the province who survived the exile are in great trouble. People, great trouble. A desert place. No food. Nobody is planting there. People, food has to come from outside. And you have to, if you have a land, you have to pledge your land to get food to eat. All the governors that were there were taking advantage of the people. The officials were taking advantage of the people. That is the situation that this man was ready to bow down and work in. Jerusalem is, the walls are broken. I mean, the walls were for a purpose, to protect you. There's no protection. You can be raided in the night. Somebody can sell something to you tonight, today, in the morning, and come and take it in the evening. And sell it to, again to you the next day. That's the situation. Anarchy, corruption. But you know what? It was a place that people never wanted to be settled. Because they were taking advantage. In Nehemiah 2, the enemies, full of enemies. He says, verse 9. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now, the king has sent me officers of the army and on horsemen. Because the king knew that if he doesn't protect this man, he would die. He's a friend of the king. He protected him. But then listen to this verse 10 and get to know the situation. He says, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them. Listen to that. It displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. Can you see? They were angry that someone would come and seek the welfare of the people. Let me tell you, when you set out your life that I'm going to work for the poor, you are an enemy. People will attack you spiritually everywhere. You will be attacked. I've seen it myself. Even from among your own people, you will be attacked. Because you are seeking the welfare of people. But that's what God has called us to do. They will say all sorts of things about you. I don't know, since I started doing the work of HIV, I don't know how many girlfriends I've had. I don't know. From here, oh yes. They say, oh, Paya, Baba Ochiri, yeah, this. It doesn't care. I don't care. As long as you know God is on your side. No matter what people say. How much money I haven't stolen. Even at the time when I'm giving out, people go and say, hey, he's stolen money. People, that is the work we are doing. Social, and a lot of people don't want to do it. A lot of churches don't want to do it. It's by name, but they don't want to get their hands dirty. We are called to do that. Hey. So it's a serious situation that Nehemiah found himself. People had no land, that yet they had to pay for tax. Taxation was going into somebody's pocket. Sometimes you pay something and there's no even receipt for you. We see it in town and you're asking yourself, but I paid that money. It's going into somebody's pocket. It's exactly the same, the corruption we see in the world today. In South Africa, in many places in Africa, that is what is happening at the time. People became slaves in their own land. You are busy doing the work in Jerusalem and your wife sends an SMS to say, oh, darling, Josie is gone. What happened? The people came, they want their money. I didn't have money. They've taken her. My goodness. That's the situation. Your children are leaving you. You don't even know where they have taken them to. That was the situation that Nehemiah found himself. Yet, he was ready to become the manager. Anyway. And so, he comes into the situation at this time. And some things did happen, amazingly. What happens is, the people come, and now they began telling Nehemiah about their situation. Despite all of this, the work is going on, and now they come and begin to tell Nehemiah what is happening. And as they are complaining, because Nehemiah, as I wrote from chapter 4 for you, Nehemiah was with the people. Some of us, when we are promoted, we don't want to see people's face. You have to put 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even your own family. They have to book an appointment for, no. Nehemiah was with the people. In fact, he says, we were sleeping together, guarding the city. Please, if God has given you the ability, don't listen to what people are saying. Do it. Come down to the people. Some can be there. It's fine. Let them have the presidency and all that. But some of us, we have to do what God has called us to do so we can save lives. So Nehemiah was able to listen to all the complaints that they were making. He was able to listen. Can you do it for me, please? Yeah. Thank you. So Nehemiah was able to listen to the people. People, when you are down there with the people, you hear what they are saying. You hear what is happening. Yesterday I was in town just to go and see a guy to cut my hair a bit for me. And then I got my phone call. Some team were working yesterday. You know, so sad. The poor people worked so hard. So hard. People were working, and as they were dropping others in town at the taxi station, another car came and hit and ran. Hit them and ran away. So I got a phone call. We had to go to the police, this, that, that. People, be with the people. You will understand what they're saying. And so they were able to tell Nehemiah what they were going through. And the reason why they don't want to work. Sometimes when people are toying, we are angry with them. Let me tell you, they are suffering. As we sit here, do we get out of the church and toy? No, because we don't have any issue. But let someone come here and say, I'm the municipal manager for Peter Marisburg. Now I'm going to chop off your head. All of us will run out and start toying because we don't want him to do that. Sometimes people toy for a good reason. Let's listen to them. If you are the minister, just listen to what they are saying. Then after that, you will be able to do as Nehemiah did. The first thing is, he takes to heart. He was angry. He says, I was angry. And I went to the English dictionary to find out, when you take something to heart, what does it mean? It means to be deeply moved or affected or upset about something. You know, sometimes we listen to the news and we are upset. It means it's in your heart now. You've taken it to heart. But you know, some of us, it is only when it comes home. When it's your child, then you take it to heart. If it's somebody else, you don't care. People, a human being is a human being. Whether it's your biological or whatever it is. Just do something. Take it to heart. As a leader, take it to heart. So, here we are talking of a poor person. Somebody who has taken on the work of God. They left their home and came to Jerusalem to work. We are not talking about somebody who is on drugs. That's a different situation. We are not talking about somebody who is doing something that is nasty and we say he's a poor person. No. We are talking about our own people. Nehemiah is talking about somebody that he is sleeping outside with. And the wives are sending messages. Or some of them even come because he says the wives were also complaining. In this church, it could be someone who has come from maybe Limpopo, studying at the university here. And what they call it, Nefas, it's not paying. I remember when I came to study all the way from Zambia, I was given a scholarship by Tier Fund. So my family, everybody, we are here to come and study. When we come to the school says, no, here, it's not for you. It's for the whole school. Oh, already we've paid our bills and ticket and everything come with the view that my scholarship is sorted for me to study. And I'm told, no. The money that, whatever £5,000 that you're supposed to take care of your way is for the whole school. Everybody will get part of it. How do we survive? People, and for years in this church, nobody knew how I survived. Because at night, my poor wife will be sewing, and I'm also helping to sew. We sew, and God bless us through the work we did. When Craig was preaching about work, it's about what you do to get something in your pocket. Unfortunately, the situation we are doing is people work, nothing in their pockets. Because somebody is taking advantage. It must stop. It must stop. Wherever you are working, some documents come to you. It takes 5 weeks to sign a single document, and yet every month you get money in your pocket. That is sinful. Stop it and do the right thing. The case of the poor comes before you and you put it aside, but yet you are solving the rich people's, the same situation for the rich person. people, this is what Nehemiah is talking about. And so we are not talking about something strange. We've all been there before. Some of these situations, if you look back, one day, once upon a time, you were in a similar situation. Help somebody else. Don't wait until it's your own son or your daughter before you think about it. People suffer. So he took it to heart. But I want you to know, it's not enough taking it to heart. It's not enough. Everybody can cry in front of TV. Oh, no, no. And so what? It doesn't go anywhere. Now that you have cried, let it get into your head. Let it get into your head. Nehemiah said, I took counsel with myself and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. I said to them, you are exacting interest from each brother. And I like the NIV. The NIV says, I pondered them in my mind. Please, when you hear something, don't just take it by your heart alone. It's important to start with the heart, but let it sink into your, up there, into your head. And ask yourself, if it was my daughter, what would I do? If it was from my hometown boy, what would I do? If it was another black boy, what would I do? If it was a white girl, what would I do? Sometimes we make so many things racial. It's humanity. Humanity. A human being. People, that's what the church is about. And that's what the work that God has called us to do. And Nehemiah is reminding us this morning. Because Nehemiah, as he is pondering over these things, he began to think about the word of God. And he realized that the word of God, the handbook, another H, the handbook of God, has something to say about the situation. He says in Exodus 22, 25, if you lend money to any of my people, a Jew like you, who is poor, you shall not like a money lender, you shall not be like a money lender to him, or you shall not exact interest. Don't do that. It's wrong to do that. They knew it, and yet they were doing it. Leviticus, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger or a sojourner, because you too were sojourners. There are times you have to take somebody and say, hey, I will pay for you. Don't cry. I will pay for you. I remember one day in Zambia, I was going to do some work somewhere as a pastor, and I saw this guy cry. Child is crying. His eyes are red. I said, what is it, my boy? He says, I don't have pencil for school. Look at that! And truly, the mother didn't have the money for a pencil. Some people are poor people. So you just watch and go and say, don't worry, it will be okay tomorrow. You have to buy the pencil for that boy to go to school. People, some people could have been somewhere, doctors, engineers and all that, but just because they cannot even buy a book, they are not there. They don't go to the school where they are supposed to do these things. They throw them aside. People, we see these things with our eyes and we laugh over it. It's like that. They are like that. Who told you they are like that? Get into their shoes and see what it means to be like that. And that's what Nehemiah is talking about. But the key thing is, it's not just enough to let it sink in your heart and cry over it and think and ponder over it and say it will be all right. No, get your hands dirty. Get your hands dirty. That's what Nehemiah did. He said, this work has stopped. The enemies could not stop the work. But because people cannot eat, if they cannot eat, how can they do the work? It's possible somebody is not here because there's nothing to eat. Or there's even not money for transport. It could be. We need to find out from each other. Get someone and say, oh, last week I didn't see what happened. And just listen to what they will say to you. If you can help, do something about it. So your hands, get your hands dirty. He went and got his hands dirty. I heard a great assembly against them. You know, this interests me because he realized that, look, there's something that works. You know, sometimes get people. You hear something. Instead of just get people together and bring it to their attention. Sometimes it's the order of when you take a job. Sometimes that's the way things go. Somebody told me, there's a job. Immediately you get that job, you might buy a certain car. Who said that? And so whoever get that job, buy that car, whether you have the money or not. We need to talk to some people and say, no, don't buy it. Get your skorokoro until everything is okay first. Talk to them. Please. Sometimes we end up owing. We end up having troubles just because somebody didn't talk sense into us. So he called them. He called the leaders. The very people, the leaders who would not stoop. If you remember when our brother Drew spoke to us, the nobles and officials would not stoop. They are the very ones who are taking money from the people because they have the power. They have the authority. She said, no, come here. Come, let's reason together. He pondered over the words of God. And he said, it's not right. You can't do that. In chapter 2, he did the same thing. In chapter 2, after he walked and saw how the work was, he called the people and he said, look, we are in disgrace. And if you remember, he says, we will arise and build. The people themselves said that. We will arise and build. So he knew it works. People, sometimes we destroy things. If you take on a position, don't change the old things. If it's working, work with it. I've seen people, I hate it. People want to make changes all the time, unnecessarily. If it's working, use it, you will get somewhere else. If the situation changes, then you change it. How do you repair a car that is running? Just go with a tire. Meanwhile, the tire is okay. Don't do that. So Nehemiah went to Hot Works. He brought the people, and we read it when he spoke to them and brought the scriptures and referred and all that. They were silent. They couldn't say a word. And God began working in their hearts, in their minds, and they say, hey, we need to do something. We need to use our hands. From now going, we will not exact any money, any interest. We will pay back. Zacchaeus did the same thing. Lord, if I've cheated anyone, I will give them even 4 times. People of God, this morning I pray God that we will change. We will change. We will change our ideas and ask God to help us. And he will help us. Raymond Brown, the one we use in his book to do this. He says, some Israelites, moneylenders, made capital out of the economic hardship and increased the anguish by demanding exorbitant interest rates, a practice condemned by God. God's word. Ezekiel had earlier, if you read Ezekiel chapter 22 from verse 12, Ezekiel had earlier described the exacting of excessive interest and making unjust gain from your neighbors as once Jerusalem detestable practices. Yet, despite the condemnation and its threatened consequence, here they are in the next century, repeating the offenses which led them into exile. The reason why Jerusalem was abandoned is because God punished them. If you read Ezekiel, you will see for the wrong things they were doing and back to it again. People, let's learn, and God is going to bless us. We will change this nation and all will be well. But finally, Nehemiah comes and say, look, people, myself. You know, it's quite interesting. It's something that I forgot to mention. That when Nehemiah demoted himself to become a building foreman, few weeks, he was promoted to become a governor. He says here, moreover, from the time I was appointed to be their governor in the land from Judah in the 20th year, that was the time he came. In the 20th year, if you read chapter 1, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year, and then in Chitslev, in the same 20th year, he came to Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, between that and this time, within few weeks, he was a governor. People, when we humble ourselves, the Lord will exalt us. Don't envy any position. Just leave it to God. And so, Lord, I will do my work. Let me tell you, I was telling somebody last week, I train people in the field. I don't like sitting in the office and talking about things in the air. No, I want to go with people. And I was with a team. I told them, look, I've never applied for a job in my life. I've interviewed people and all that. What I do is, when I came here in South Africa as a student, I started teaching. Free of charge at ESSA. Free. The next thing was that I was a lecturer. I didn't even know when. Yeah, I was just doing the job anyway. Look, if you're a pastor, if God has called you to be a pastor, you don't need to be laid hands on. Before they laid hands on you, you're a pastor. Because you'll be doing your job as a pastor. Don't wait. Do it. Do it anyway. Do it. God will bless you. CCP, I worked for CCP since it started until 2010. I never got a cent from the organization until PEFA said, we want someone to be the leader. We want someone who will be a director, not an overseer. We don't understand overseer. That's when I took it without any interviews. Because I was doing the job anyway. People, if you don't have a job, just go and offer your services to an organization, what you are interested in. Just go and say, look, I'm here. I'm sitting home anyway. There's a couple, Gary Smith told us, his friends, some of his friends went to Canada to work. The wife got a job. He didn't have a job. And he was a great accountant. So one day he said, why should I sit home and get bored? I will go to some of the organizations and say, look, I'm sitting at home. I have nothing to do. I will just want to offer my services. It's the same. You know what? After 3 weeks of service, they said, no. We want you to be head of this place. Within months, he was on top because he knew his job. Far better than those who were doing it. People, go low and God will lift you up. That's something that we have to do. And that's something we have to do, and God is going to help us. So, he gave himself as an example, and there are two things. He had reverence for God. Let me tell you, he had reverence for God. He said, in verse 15, the former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them for their daily ration 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. People, let's fear God rather than human beings. If you are afraid of your wife, and so you don't want to sleep with anybody, let me tell you, when the temptation comes, and you are standing there, and this beautiful woman is before you, you look at that woman and you look at your wife, and you say, she's not here, and you do it. But if it is to the fear of God, that I don't want to do this because of God, you will not look at your wife. You will look to God, and God will give you the strength, like Joseph, to run away. The fear of God is very important in everything we do. Don't say this is one night stand. My husband is not here. I mean, of course, it's only one night. You see, the men, I'm saying women will do one night stand because they won't do it again. But the men, they will continue until divorce comes. But if you have the fear of God, the fear of God, knowing that I am doing this against my God, the temptation will come, but you will stand and say, Lord, I don't want to disgrace you, no matter what it is. Whether it's money, whatever it is, you will overcome. Because God helps his people. He had reverence for God. And the second thing is that he had compassion for the people. You can never do anything. Your true colors will come out one day. I remember a guy who stopped a job. He was a head teacher, a headmaster somewhere. But his boss came and said, let's take advantage. He said, advantage? A Christian taking advantage? No way. I've resigned. I won't do this job. People, the true colors will come. Sometimes you act as if you are doing it for the poor, but you are doing it for your pocket. And let somebody touch your pocket. There we will see. Have compassion for the people of God. And it will change everything. And I bet you, God will reward you. God will reward you. Until I started receiving salaries, I earned more than the salaries I was receiving because God provided. God provided. God provided. I remember one day we were home. There was no money. As students, we saw a car parked, and it was Emmanuel's teacher. Comes, says, we were praying for you, and we felt we should bring this. The car boot full of goodies. Everything was there. God provided. People, let's trust our God. And let's do social action. Let's get our hands dirty. Yes, let it sink into our heart. Let it get top here into our head and ponder over it and pray over it. And let it flow into our hands and do something. God will bless us. Amen.